What I share this morning is something that has been on my heart for a little bit. And I want to, put a caveat in front. How I share this, how I preach this, please do not take offense. Please do not take it personally. But yet do, because it concerns ourselves, our conduct as individuals and as a church. And it's something that Jesus has called us to, that God has called people to that follow him throughout the ages. Something that bothered me so much that I actually changed my message last night. I had something that I was looking forward to working on, and it just wasn't flowing. And this is what the Lord put on my heart to share this morning. It may not be his exact words, but I trust that those are the words that he has given me and to share this morning. But the question that I've put forward is, who is your neighbor? A parable about sheep and goats. Found in Matthew chapter 25, just after the parable of the 10 virgins and the parable of the talents, we have the parable of the sheep and the goats. And this is the word that is written to us, starting in Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another. Just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "I assure you, whatever you did for the one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will also say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you didn't take care of me." Then they too will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or without clothes, or sick or in prison, and not help you?" Then he will answer them, "I assure you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me either." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Why has this bothered me? It's bothered me because we have neighbors. We have neighbors that have not been happy that our church has reached out to love the homeless. You know who those individuals are. They're in our parking lot. When I was away, or it might have been when I came back, I was hiding here in the third week of our holidays. We didn't tell anybody. But I was on Facebook. And on LeDuc Rant and Rave, lo and behold, our church got highlighted and got circled because of a camper in our parking lot. And because there's been a rash of thefts around LeDuc, individuals in our parking lot were questioned and pointed out as those are the ones. It bothers me. It bothers me because people assume that they know what another person is all about and who they are without even meeting them. That, according to the Lord Jesus who I know, is a wrong thing to do. We may think that we know somebody, but unless we're God, we know very little about somebody. It's bothered me because we're trying to help some individuals in our parking lot. One has become part of our family, our church family. They've been here for a while. But it bothers me is because we're uncomfortable with it. We're uncomfortable with the heat that we're receiving. Maybe you're unaware of it, but I was on Facebook and received some of that heat. We have a trailer out back that belongs to one of our persons that stays there. And their trailer was graffitied with "die, get out of here." Makes us uncomfortable because this is something that we should not see in our society. We should not see homeless people in our society. We should not see people parked in a car living outside. It's not something that we'd like to see. It's not something that we want to see. So we tend to hide it and deny that it even exists. But it does exist. I couch surfed as a kid while my mom was in prison for a couple, 3 months in different situations, different places. It does exist. Question is, who is your neighbor? My neighbor is only the one that lives beside me, or my neighbor is only the one that I like. No, actually, Jesus says, everybody is your neighbor. Show me where that in Scripture. I'll show you in Scripture in a moment. But it makes me feel uncomfortable, and we as a board have dealt and struggled with this because we don't want them there. And we talk about them as impersonal objects. They're human beings. They're persons. They were made in God's image, or they were created by God. And Jesus loves them, and God loves them. Jesus being God. That means that we ultimately are to what? Love them. Not disdain them. Not shove them off. Not push them off. We are to love them. We're called to love them as Jesus loves us. He died on the cross when we were sinners and ugly. The world wants to hide the ugly. But we're supposed to shed light on the darkness. And the darkness is that in LeDuc, there is a homeless issue. There are people that are homeless. That's why the hub exists. The hub is trying to help people that are either homeless or short of funds or they're in need of things. And we do the same thing. We're trying to do the same thing. But we have people calling out the church because they're helping the homeless. I'm bothered by that. Good question, Alice. What can we do about that? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? That's the question. John 5:28 says this, "Do not be amazed at this, because the time is coming when all who are in graves will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good things to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked things to the resurrection of judgment. And whoever gives just a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is a disciple, I assure you, he will never lose his reward." A neighbor is anyone that Jesus loves. Amen? A neighbor is anyone that Jesus loves. Therefore, being who? Everyone. Whether they are good or bad, righteous or unrighteous, there is called common grace that Jesus shines his light on both the good and the bad. He sends his rain on both the good and the bad. A neighbor is anyone that Jesus loves, anyone that Jesus created, because they're made in his image. Is the point. So you can grab onto this and not listen to anything else. Sheep and goats are separated based on their acknowledgement of Jesus and their work. One's work proves the reality of one's faith. One's work demonstrates the state of one's heart. Anything done unto one of his, he considers done unto him. Matthew 10:42. "And whoever gives a cup of cold water, as I just said, to one of these little ones because he is a disciple, I assure you, will not lose his reward. Mark 9:41. "And whoever gives a cup of water to drink because of my name, since you belong to the Messiah, I assure you, he will never lose his reward. Acts 9:4. Falling to the ground, Paul heard a voice saying to him, who was Saul, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" What was happening? Who is Saul before he became the Apostle Paul? He was a Pharisee. What was he doing? Killing Christians. Because why? They believed Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus says to Saul, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" What's Jesus saying? When you persecute those Christians that you hate, that you think are far gone, far off, that are wrong, you're persecuting me, Saul. When you disdain the homeless, you're disdaining me. Who is truly a neighbor? According to Jesus, it was the Samaritan. Remember that story? The mixed breed of Jew who had intermarried with the Gentile people around them when Israel took the promised land. Jesus said, it's the Samaritan who is the true neighbor. Luke 10:25-37. Just then an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus, saying, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he asked him. "How do you read it?" Bless you. He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus told him. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Key question. Who is my neighbor? Jesus took up the question and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him, beat him up, and fled, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite, when he arrived at the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Just a second. This is an expert in the law. And these, for essential purposes, are pastors and priests and clerics. They're going to do the right thing. They're going to do the thing that they're supposed to do. They pass him by. Well, we're not supposed to touch any dead thing. He might be dead. Jesus continues, but a Samaritan on his journey came to him, and when he saw the man, he had compassion. He went over to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring in olive oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him. When I come back, I'll reimburse you for whatever extra you spend. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And what does he say? The one who showed mercy to him, he said. Then Jesus said, go and do the same. The one who showed mercy to him. Note, I did this unintentionally. What did we talk about last week? We talked about mercy, did we not? And what was the illustration I used for mercy? Anybody remember? A woman's womb. A pregnant woman's womb. The one who is truly a neighbor extends the divine womb of Christ, his mercy, to those in need, those Jesus loves. Remember the word picture for mercy in Hebrew is a woman's pregnant womb. Jesus' mercy is being protected and cared for like a baby in a mother's womb. Being a true neighbor is to extend to others Christ's protective womb. So who is the neighbor? The one who shares Christ's protective womb, his mercy. We have people in this community that are not being very merciful because it's an eyesore. I'm scared. I worry. I could understand that if we were right inside the community and we had houses all the way around us, but we don't. We have a community just over here. There's nobody else around us. Are we sharing God's mercy? Christ's mercy? We're trying to. I think we've done pretty good in an instance. But we're in a... want to get them out. This is my feeling. Is like, well, we want to move them along because, you know, it's uncomfortable. These are the thoughts in my head. The Lord's stirring in my heart and my thoughts is that, you know what, in conversations with people, is like, I know this myself, is like, well, we don't want to be taken advantage of. Well, you know what? Jesus handles that. God handles that. He gives us a mind and thoughts and thinking speaks to us, and we need to listen to that leading. But Jesus took care of the broken and the poor and the sinners, which is us. According to the Jews, it was their brother, their fellow Israelite, or also a member of the covenant who was their neighbor. Leviticus 19:18, the Old Testament law, instructed Israelites to love their neighbors as themselves. Do not take revenge or bear a grudge against members of your community, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh. The neighbor was their fellow Israelite. We know this is so because there is a caveat, if you will, or an addendum added to the law concerning foreigners in the land. They are to extend the same courtesy as long as they follow the laws of the land, Leviticus 19:34. You must regard the foreigner, the stranger, who lives with you as the native born among you. You are to love him as yourself, for you were foreigners in the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh your God. Do you forget that you were foreigners and you came from Egypt? Foreigners in a land that was not yours, and you were welcomed. You were embraced. Were you not loved as a neighbor? Joseph was second in power in the land of Egypt next to Pharaoh himself. The Pharaoh treated Joseph as a brother and a fellow Egyptian. When Joseph came to him about the plight of his family and his people, the Hebrews were invited to come and live amongst the Egyptians. What is that? That's mercy. That's Pharaoh extending a protective womb to the Israelites who are not his. But he did so. Genesis 47:5-6. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Now that your father and brothers have come to you, the land of Egypt is open before you. Settle your father and brothers in the best part of the land. Not in the poorest part of the land, not in the worst part of the land, but in the best part of the land. They can live in the land of Goshen. If you know of any capable men among them, put them in charge of my livestock. And hey, I'll give them a job." Genesis 47:27. Thus Israel settled in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen, and they gained possessions in it and were fruitful and multiplied greatly. God's blessing. Mercy extended. Pharaoh extended Joseph and his family his mercy. Have we extended mercy to those that are not family, but foreigners? So the world doesn't want to do this, or the world does do this. But we are to be different. We are to do the things that the world would not do. We are to do the things that lead to people into the kingdom of God. We are to extend mercy to those that are foreigners. This is what's bugged me. Because it hasn't sat right. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Interesting, when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, in what context does he use it in? Jesus echoes the command of the Old Testament law, but he expands upon it as a marking of a true disciple of God and one to inherit the kingdom of God. He says this, Mark 12:28-31. One of the scribes approached. When he heard them debating and saw that Jesus answered them well, he asked him, "Which command is the most important of all?" It's a trap. "This is the most important," Jesus answered. "Listen, Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these." Matthew 5:43-48. We know that as the Sermon on the Mount. What does Jesus say there? He says this, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." That's revolutionary. This guy cannot be the Messiah because he's telling us to love our enemies. This is against the Torah. No, Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament. He came to fulfill God's will. And he says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy? No, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Extend to them mercy. Extend to them grace. So if Jesus says we are to love our enemies, what about the homeless? Are they our enemies? They're not our enemies. They're created in the image of God. We have no out. If Jesus says we are to love our enemies and extend grace and mercy to them, we can't do anything less to our homeless. Matthew 5, 45 to 46, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? Ouch. What? Love your enemy because he or she is your neighbor. Jesus has had a little too much jugo juice. Right? We would say that. You want me to extend care and love to my enemy? You want me to extend grace and mercy to my enemy? You're out of your mind, Jesus. Yes, Jesus is actually out of this world, in fact. God's common grace, his common favor extends to all, both the good and the bad. He sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous, the politician and the poor. Don't go into politics. I'm just saying, here's a good modern day example. But if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? What sacrifice have you and I made? What burden have we carried? What suffering have we endured? What discomfort have we experienced? None? Nothing? Jesus came into the world to die for the world because of his great love for his Father, his will, and his creation. To follow Christ costs. Amen? Is it costing us? Sheep follow the Savior. Goats do their own thing. Sheep follow the Savior. Goats do their own thing. Sheep will inherit the kingdom of God in eternity with him. Goats will inherit eternal separation from God and punishment of their own choosing because they refuse to believe and follow Jesus. The gift has been extended. The gift has been given, but we refuse to accept it. Nobody's to blame except for myself. God's not to blame because the gift has always been given. How can you tell the difference between sheep and goats? Anybody? We got some farmers here. Rudy, how do you tell the difference between a sheep and a goat? Horns? Okay. What's that? Goat will eat anything, okay. Well, in North and South America, as well as Europe, it's fairly easy. But did you know in the Middle East, it's a different story. Sheep and goats look almost exactly the same, except for two distinguishing characteristics. Their tail and their ears. Sheep's tails always go down. Goats' tails always go up. Sheep ears are long flappers. Goat's ears are sticky and small. That's the only way they could tell them apart. So it gives you an idea of when Jesus says, you know what, that the end of time is coming where I'm going to separate the sheep and the goats. Everybody thinks, I'm in. I'm good. Jesus goes, I know who the sheep are and who the goats are. Even if you don't. Even if we can't tell. You can't hide. Jesus told us the difference between sheep and goats are their willingness to be shepherded. Sheep will follow Jesus. Goats do their own thing. Sheep do the work of Jesus because they love him. Goats are selfish and do their own thing to their own benefit. Sheep take care of their neighbor, the poor and the needy. Goats can care nothing about their neighbor, the poor or the needy. Goats will actually say, "We never saw any." On that day, the nations are gathered for the judgment of their works, both sheep and goats. Jesus' separation is based on two things. Do they know me, Jesus? And secondly, did they love their neighbor? That's what the separation is based on. Matthew 25:40, and the king will answer them, "I assure you, whatever you did for the one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Matthew 25:45, then he will answer them, "I assure you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did not do for me either." You did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me either. There's two interpretations out of this passage, by the way. Not ignoring the one which is more specific to disciples and Israelites and Jews. If you ignored these disciples of mine, you'll be ignored. If you didn't feed them, you won't be fed. This is where you're going to go. These are my disciples. These are my emissaries. These are the ones sharing the gospel. But also the second interpretation and application here is the general one. Who is your neighbor? Anyone that Jesus loves and sheds his common grace upon. So the short answer is the world. Everyone God created. So like I said, why this sermon? Why these passages? Because our community is uncomfortable with our neighbors. I'm uncomfortable with our neighbors to an extent. Have been. Wanting to move them along sooner than later. But that's what tends to happen when you have to hold two things in your hand. And they're opposites. And it's like, well, I've got to make a decision. And the decision isn't clear, but maybe the decision is clear and we just don't want to do that. We hold uncomfortable things in our hands, we want to drop them, right? If you have hot things in your hand, what do you want to do? Drop them. You don't hold them. But homelessness in our city is a hot topic item. Because there's people saying it doesn't exist. And we're saying it does exist. People want to hide it. We should expose it. That we can do better. That the town needs to do better. That our world needs to be better. We want to drop it because it's uncomfortable. That's not what Jesus told us to do. What did Jesus say? Someone comes to you looking for a cloak. What are you supposed to do? Give him yours, give him the hat, give him the shoes, give him the galoshes too. If he wants you to go a mile with him, what are you supposed to do? Go 2 miles. Go as far as needed. If someone offends you, what are you supposed to do? Forgive them. How many times? 777 times? So what number am I on? Always is right. Always is right. Forgive as long as needed. Because if we are to take count, how many of us would get into heaven if there was a limitation on capacity? This is why this sermon, this is what's been bugging me. 3 reasons why homelessness exists, in my thoughts. A person's being lazy, unforeseen circumstances, death, work, disaster, whatever situation, or ignoring God, ignoring Christ. With Israel living in covenant with God and with each other, they had a responsibility to look out for one another. New believers living in covenant with Christ are to live in covenant of looking out for one another because we follow Christ. Neither covenants allow the ignoring of the world, the foreigner, the destitute, the stranger, nor the enemy, nor the homeless. Refusing to love a neighbor is a lack of God problem and a lack of loving Christ problem. The two are one of the same. Do we have a hard heart? Do we truly love Jesus? Do we truly follow Jesus? Our neighbors will tell us. Sheep love and follow the Savior. Goats love themselves and follow their own desires, the devil. Sheep will inherit the kingdom of God and eternal life with him. Goats bring upon themselves eternal separation from God and eternal punishment. The choice is ours. Will we love our neighbors? That's the question. And the thing that keeps on popping in my mind and won't let me go is this. Jesus says something about the poor. What's he say about the poor when he's talking to the disciples? He says what? The poor will always be amongst you. What is that? The poor will always be amongst you. Shannon, there's always going to be an opportunity for you to love a neighbor. There's always going to be an opportunity for you to share Christ's love, to do God's work. There's always going to be those people there. So you are without excuse, Shannon, when you don't love as Jesus tells you to love and that you don't do it. Will I act as a sheep or as a goat? Amen.